forms of romance and living and just being. And that's at 7 p.m. Central on Thursdays. I also do my own stuff. I have a show called How to Skeptic, which talks about how to research on the internet like a journalist and make sure that you are correcting for any biases that you may have absorbed by living in this world. You can check out all of my stuff and also find links to the ACA shows if you go to linktree.com/VLaBianca.
Thank you. And if anyone else has any plugs they'd like to do, this is the time for it. And hearing none, I will just say thank you so much for joining us tonight on Transpositive. And we will see you in 2 weeks. Thanks everyone for joining us tonight.
Thank you.
Thanks everyone. Good night. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 3, turn back till I lose God.
KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, board meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month starting at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
Good evening. You're listening to KBOO Portland. In celebration of African American Black History Month, we've decided to create a series dedicated to honoring African American Black history and future here at KBOO. We'll be exploring KBOO's past, some historical moments in the community, pre-gentrified Portland, religion, and much more. You'll be able to hear these interviews every Tuesday at 7 p.m. during the month of February. Please note that these interviews don't include all programmers here at KBOO. The folks that participated were chosen at random. This week, we'll be hearing from KBOO Sequoyah Zikiwe from Ear to the Streets of Portland, a show designated for Black Portlanders and includes music of all genres in free form, specifically from Black and African diaspora. Ear to the Street can be found in KBOO every first and third Thursday at 8 p.m. My name is Tammy, and thank you for tuning in.
This is Sequoyah Zikiwe for Ear to the Streets of Portland. I've been at KBOO Community Radio. Well, I've been doing community radio for 12 years, but I've been specifically at KBOO now for a little over 11 years. I do a KBOO Community Radio show called Ear to the Streets of Portland, which I started back in 2014. The concept was to meet with as many Black Portlanders as possible, you know, and get an ear to the streets. For the first year, I did really well in terms of interviews and, you know, bringing all types of people in and having different types of conversations and things like that. So I did that for a good year, a little over a year. And then I just went into having a playlist. I usually go by Sequoyah Zikiwe as my community radio moniker. Zikiwe was given to me by PALF, which is an acronym for Portland African American Leadership Forum. I was part of their second year cohort. And as a rite of passage, they gave me Zikiwe as my rite of passage name, which means full of vigor. So I was like, well, I guess that's going to be my radio name. And so that's where Sequoyah Zikiwe comes in.
That's an awesome story. I'm really glad that you shared that. And for, so you were saying that for the first 2 years, you're doing a lot of interviews for the program and focusing on Black Portland. Can you talk a little bit about what you learned about Black Portland through the show?
I learned that the word gentrification, although it's always been a word, it's just been, you know, said in a different way. So, you know, back in the days, we used to talk about urban renewal and things like that. But most recently, in the last 5-10 years, I would say, the word gentrification came out. And that was a word that I feel like Portland started, Black Portland started, because then next thing you know, that word spread like wildfire. And so I learned that, and really honestly, I knew these things because when I first moved here to Portland back in 2009, my first goal was to get acquainted with Black people here in Portland. And so I did do that. And one of the driving force of starting this program was to capture that. And so I did. And I, you know, I learned, you know, how, you know, there was a section of Portland that was dedicated to Black folks because that's where they had to go after Vanport back in the after the 1940s. So Black people were relegated into North and Northeast Portland for many decades. And then in the last 10 years, I would probably say when I first moved out here, people started to begin seeing signs of Black people being pushed out into the numbers, which is where, you know, Gresham is, and moving more east of Portland. So yeah, I learned a lot about Black Portland by way of asking questions. I attribute Ear to the Streets being part of that learning experience about Black Portland. Like I said, I mean, I already knew these things, but it was good to like actually capture it.
What were you hoping to teach through the program, knowing that, you know, the demographics is going to be mostly white folks?
I mean, anything that Black people do in this society, no matter where we are, I mean, you're not going to get an abundance of Black folks that are going to listen or support unless you are doing something that is, you know, geared to more towards entertainment, whether it be music or sports or just plain, you know, messing around, you know, in the words of Dead Poets Society, party and bullshit. But that's the best way that I can describe what I would expect, you know, having a radio program, a community radio program that's geared more towards Black society, and knowing that there's a good chance that I'm probably not going to get all of the support that I had hoped from Black society. I did get some, but not, you know, not to what I wanted. But that's okay. I know what I wanted in my heart, and I know what I was striving for and what I will always strive for. And anyone that, you know, listens or works with me will know that, you know, at my core, that is who I am. And that is who I look to build with in terms of social things that affect Black society on a daily basis. Anything that we do, you know, we're always going to have a majority of other races that will support you. But that doesn't stop me from wanting to make sure that, you know, I'm a voice that's out there for Black society.
Do you feel like there are additional voices that are similar to yours? Obviously, the demographics of the city is changing and all that. Or do you still feel like you're kind of not getting as much support as you'd like?
I feel like I've accomplished what I needed to do and what this program has been doing for the last 6 years. And I feel like I would just be, you know, driving myself crazy trying to gain her that support that I wish was there, but it's not. And that's okay. There's going to be different voices within the Black diaspora, and that's fine. I think that we should all work to find common ground. But what I desire, I know that I'm not going to find, and that's okay. I just want to bring what I have and in what I believe in to the table, and whoever jives with that is great, you know. But I'm no longer in that mindset that, you know, I'm going to work hard to, you know, galvanize as many Black voices as possible when we're all going to have different ideas and ways of maneuvering in this society. There's always going to be different voices, and again, that's okay. I just don't know if it will fit with what I envision. And Ear to the Street, the way it is fine. I mean, for the most part, most of the artists that I play are Black, African, foundational Black American of the African diaspora. So I'm fine with that. If new Black voices come around and they're looking to, you know, work and collaborate, I'm fine with that. I'm always open to that. I just don't know if I will seek it as much as I used to.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. We are now past the 2020 summer, which was been overwhelming to say the least. How's the summer affected you?
It sucks. I mean, it definitely sucks, but you know, outside of my community work, I'm already an introvert. So anytime I don't have to deal with the public, it's fine with me. I sympathize with the local businesses. I sympathize with those who don't really have, you know, the wherewithal to power through this craziness. So I do sympathize with that. But for me personally, I don't really think that this has affected me as much. I'm thankful. I'm very thankful and blessed that I've been able to keep a job, quote unquote. You know, I'm blessed and thankful that I've had that, where most people have not. And, you know, again, I sympathize with that, you know, and I'm sorry that most people, and especially Black folks, have had to endure a tumultuous summer. I can sympathize with those who weren't able to power through.
The social unrest that we have been seeing and the protests and the, as a lot of people are calling it, the racial reckoning of America. what is your reaction to it? I mean, both as an activist, but you know, as a Black person as well.
We've been warned. I mean, especially for Black society, we've been warned for decades, you know, to prepare for these days. It's nice that people got out there and, you know, they put their feet to the street. They fought for awareness and kudos to them, because I've been in enough protests and I've been a part of many conversations and things like that. And so I know for me, I was done with that type of stuff, especially with all the craziness going on outside of the protests. For me, it was just kind of like, you know, I've been there, done that, you know, the warning signs have been out there. I know I have been one of thousands of Black folks around the nation that put out the warning signs and said, hey, Black folks, you know, let's hunker down and let's really hash out how do we organize and build a political power so that, you know, we can protect ourselves from police brutality. For me, that's what matters. It's nice that other people got their voices into it, and, you know, the people that I wouldn't expect be out there over the summer during the months and months of protests. I was like, okay, well, that's cool. Like, awesome. That's cool. But in my heart of hearts, I'm like, it's a little too late. While it's admirable that the people were out there, I just feel that for Black folks, you know, we were warned for years and decades to get it together. You know, and in closing to your question, I just don't think that allyship for Black people specifically is going to work. So while it's great that you have many voices of all colors, creeds, religions, all that out there saying, hey, Black lives matter, let's stop, you know, this police brutality, you know, let's prosecute the killers of George Floyd and Breonna Taylor to the fullest extent of the law. Thank you for all those who supported that. But ultimately, it's going to take Black people and Black people only to fix our problems. That's it.
Well, I was going to ask you, if allyship doesn't work, what will work? But I guess that's pretty much it. Do you have any advice for people who have been protesting during the summer and perhaps in your, obviously, your personal opinion, what you think might be more impactful to Black lives?
Stop the white apologies. Me personally, I'm not looking for you to like be my best friend as a Black person. I'm not looking for that, or as a foundational Black woman. I'm not looking for you to be my best friend. But if you know I'm a hard worker, if you know that I care about the community, if you know that I'm not out here trying to be a criminal, then have my back when you see that another white person. And, you know, and it's not even just white society. It's non-white and non-Black. At the end of the day, you know, white supremacy helps to create a world where there's anti-Black hate of all races. And even within our own Black society, we have Black folks that are willing to sell Black folks out at rock bottom dollar prices in order to be in the favor of white folks. So when you see that, call that out and say, yo, like, that's not cool. And that's one of the reasons why I opted out on being in protest or anything like that, because it, you know, it's going to require much, much more harder work than just trying to defund police. That it's going to take a hell of a lot more than that for those who really want, who really truly honestly believe that Black Lives Matter and it's just not a symbol and a sign that you put in your window. Then, you know, it's up to you to call out your fellow white person or your fellow Hispanic person or your fellow Asian person who is practicing anti-hate Blackness, anti-hate Blackness for foundational Black people, foundational Black Americans, those of the African diaspora. It is up to you to call that out, because only you have, you know, the opportunity to hold the people that you come from accountable, just like it's up to me to hold my people accountable, you know. And so if we're ever going to have allyship, you know, the way we talk about it, then that's how it's going to have to work. In the meantime, Black people have to be the ones to hunker down and really work together, you know, put aside all the tabs in the barrel mentality, put away all the, you know, self-hate issues. It's time to put all that away, because what we're getting ready to face in the next 6 months to a year, it's not going to be anything pretty, and especially not going to be anything pretty for foundational Black Americans.
I mean, definitely the next few months are a little scary as people are losing their footing into, you know, what we call normal mm-hmm. society, and just being pushed more and more to the edge. Do you think that KBOO at all has played a role in trying to amplify Black voices? I guess, you know, in the last 10 years or 6 years that you've been in there?
I believe that KBOO has done its best. And, you know, listen, I love KBOO, like, regardless. Like, I love the history. I love, you know, what it stands for, the fundamental foundation of KBOO. You know, I was one of the people when I was on the board of directors that helped restructure our mission statement and other governing bodies that helped make up for KBOO to be what it is. So make no mistake about it. Like, for what KBOO is foundationally, I respect it and I love it. I came into KBOO after a time where, you know, a lot of the Black programmers became disheartened by, you know, the Soul Strip being taken away, for example. I don't know if you or the listeners are familiar with the Soul Strip that was back early, in the late 90s, early 2000s, I believe. But when that got taken away, a lot of Black programmers went away. And then some of them came back, of course. But if I'm being honest, we possibly could do better. I know that I did my best to bring Black voices together and, you know, try to make a cohort of us. And I know that there's a push to try to redo that again, which is cool. But overall, I think that KBOO does its best to ensure that Black voices are around and are heard. So I won't say that that hasn't been the case, but what I will say is I don't think that they're ready for something deeper that Black folks have to talk about. And I think that's where the line stops.
Can you talk a little bit about that experience, what it was like being on a legendary KBOO board?
It was very challenging. I will say that. That's all I'm going to say about that. It was very challenging.
In every revolution and in every movement, music, in my opinion, plays a really important part. Can you talk a little bit about what you hope to accomplish with your program as far as like the music side and amplifying Black voices, African musicians, underground music? What you hope to accomplish with that?
If I can get more support from Black folks, you know, listenership and those who would be interested in making a collaboration, that's what I would like to see. I mean, I definitely have tried over the years to, you know, make some collaborations, but it's hard work. You know, people think that you could just get into community radio and, you know, it's just going to work. Like, you don't have to really put in that much effort. I mean, you know, now that's not to say that most programmers who have come in and are still there don't recognize the real work, because there's some bomb people who put in some very great production work on their program. I mean, I'm like, dang, like, if only I had the tenacity to see this through, you know, I definitely did my part for the first 2 years at Ear to the Street, but it's a lot of work. It takes a lot of research. It takes a lot of, you know, prepping, making sure that your guests are going to arrive. You know, it's a lot of work, which I loved. I just couldn't do it by myself. So if I could find, you know, people that would be willing to collaborate, that's what I would like to see for the future of this program. But otherwise, you know, I'm a music enthusiast. I love music. I grew up with music. My father is a bass player. Grew up, you know, has music part of my life. So I'm fine with, you know, bringing some sweet playlists for 2 hours to the show as well.
Were there any KBOO programmers when you first came in that you really felt a connection with or that mentored you?
I mean, yeah. Shout out to Reggae Bob. Shout out to Shahid Hamid. Shout out to JJ Johnson. Shout out to Cecil Prescott and shout out Dina. We may have had our differences, but you know, I'll never take away her magic on the turntable. Dina Barnwell for Soundbox. She was loved. People appreciated her, and you know, and I appreciated what she brought to hip hop. And I have no doubt in my mind that people copied off of her here in Portland. So shout out to Dina B for Soundbox as well. Shout out to Celeste. Shout out to do Soundbox on Saturdays. Shout out to Jamila, Jamila Bourbon. Shout out to Paula Small, who actually I took over when she left. I took over her time. So shout out to her for, you know, giving me, you know, the opportunity to apply. I applied and, you know, so shout out to her. Shout out to Joanne Hardesty. Shout out to all those people, you know, and shout out to Master Blaster. He was well loved back in the, you know, early or late 70s and 80s. You know, he was one of the pinnacle black folks of Portland, of KBOO and of Portland. People loved him and they reared him to be a great programmer and had a genuine love for black music.
If there is a listener right now and they're like, this sounds awesome and I want to be part of it, but I don't really know where to start, what advice would you have to, you know, younger you or to, you know, someone starting off?
Have the passion. For any young black man or black woman, you know, wanting to jump into this thing, have the passion, see it through. I mean, those are the two things, and, you know, especially as I try to mentor black folks in the past in my tenure at KBOO, the main thing that I saw that you know was kind of disappointing is that a lot of black folks that you know I seen come and go, even you know the handful that I tried to mentor, they didn't want to see it through because it's work. They think that it's community radio and you can just hop in. It's just like, no, you got to put in some effort. So whatever your passion is, make it be your own as you navigate through any community radio station. Make it be your own and see it through and be passionate about it. That's the first step. You'll be more apt to see it through because you're passionate about something and you want to see it through. So that would be my two main things, you know, have a passion for something and see it through. KBOO, you know, will help you get where you want to be. So if you want to be a news reporter, get all the training that you possibly can get. Jenka has been at KBOO. You know, she's the last of, you know, the many people that I've gotten to meet. You know, I've gotten to meet some heavy hitters at KBOO over the years. You know, connect with the right people that want success for you, and they'll help you see it through. But the first step is that you have to have a passion, and you've got to see it through.
How did you find your voice through all the hardships that you've had to go through?
Again, I was passionate about Black people. So for me, I was passionate about, you know, our success and getting the word out there of conversations that we were having that were being had behind closed doors. I'm like, you know, why are we hiding this? Let's put it out there. Of course, I've gotten attacked for it, and I've been in many knockdown, drag-out fights, but I didn't let that stop me. I still was just like, well, you know, I'm going to do this. And, you know, but I also lend a hand in many different areas in KBOO. You know, I did news reporting, I was a news producer, you know, I volunteered at many, many, many festivals, helped bring us to festivals. But, you know, again, I can't tell someone to do those things or suggest that someone do those things. You already want to have it. And again, I came to KABU with 2 years experience in community radio already, so I already knew what to expect. It was just in a different way. For me, you know, again, it was about the passion, and it was about seeing it through.
I guess when people don't know all the work that it takes to get there, you kind of, you know, you just hear it on the radio and it sounds so simple and easy. And then once you get in there, you realize that it's, you know, it's research, it's learning how to edit, it's learning how to do the sound check. I mean, there's so many moving parts.
To that point, that's just a bundle basic. I mean, once you learn, it's a fundamental basic thing that you can do, learning how to record, learning how to edit. Once you got that down, you're goody. You're Gucci. Like, you're good to go. You know what I'm saying? The hard part is, you know, the bringing the creativity, making sure it's right, making sure you have the right people in place, making sure that, you know, you've done your research. I'm a horrible researcher. The way my ADHD works, I'm a horrible researcher. So, I mean, I can research, but, you know, but I'm not going to spend hours in depth. You know, for some things I will, don't get me wrong, you know, but that's the part, the back end stuff. Like, once you learn editing, once you learn, like, the basic things that get, you know, that allows you to have quality programming, once you've got the basics, like the computer stuff and all that, you're fine. It's the back end stuff, for me anyway, and I think that has been a thing for a lot of people that I've come in contact with, that, you know, you've got to put in a lot of work and a lot of energy. And I did that for a while, for a couple of years, until, you know, I couldn't anymore.
Yeah, definitely. You make it sound so easy. Before we wrap up, if you want to do a plug for the show.
Yeah, again, I'm Sequoia Ezekiel for Ear to the Streets of Portland on every first and third Thursday of the month, starting at 8:00. And again, you know, a lot of the artists that I play are pretty underground. I do love mixing in some old school stuff, because I am more old school than I am new school stuff. I'm not a spinner. I don't know how to spin records. That's why when people say, "Oh, you're a radio DJ at KABU," I'm like, "No, I'm a programmer. I'm not a DJ." DJ Anjali is a DJ. DJ Anjali and the Kid is a DJ. Ian Westmoreland. I don't know if he's as active, but he is a DJ. He actually has done DJ work. Dina B, when she was on, she was a DJ. Those are DJs to me. I am a radio programmer. I just put a playlist together. I try to make it sound good and segue into that stuff the best way I possibly can. So I do want to make that distinction. Now, some people say, "No, you are a DJ." I'm like, "Oh, okay. All right." But no, I am a radio programmer. And I'm proud of what I've been able to do and accomplish. I'm proud of the people that I've been able to work with over the years. And I'm proud of KABU, and I'm proud to be a part of history. You know, keep supporting KABU the best way you possibly can. We're always looking for financial contributions. So if you can help us out in that way, thank you. And, you know, for the Black programmers that remain, and for the new ones that are coming in, such as yourself and other people, stick with it and see it through. You know, and let's keep KABU. Let's keep it what it's always been. It's always been a radical radio station. We are supposed to be hitting those hard questions, you know, so let's not suppress that. The people are going to need it, you know, so let's keep KABU, and thank you for contributing to us over the years and being supportive. And if you're new, welcome. I hope I gave some insight from a foundational Black American, Black experience. I know I'm not speaking for all Black folks, but hopefully I gave some insight to some of what has been at KABU and where I feel Black society as a whole is going, from my personal experience. So
thank you so much.
To hear Sequoia in the show, Ear to the Streets of Portland, tune in every first and third Thursday at 8 p.m. This interview is part 3 of a 4-part series celebrating Black history and feature here at KABU. Tune in next Tuesday at 7 p.m. to hear the final episode of this special programming. For more information about this series and other Just For You special programming, visit kboo.fm/justforyou. If you'd like to support this type of programming, please consider donating to KABU at kboo.fm/donate. For KABU Community Radio, this is Tammy Heptaeus.
One day, when the glory comes, It will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, one day when the war is won, we will be sure. We will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtaposition in us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, glory,
glory,
oh. Every man, woman, and child. Even Jesus got his crown in front of a crowd. They march with the torch, we gon' run with it now. Never look back, we done gone hundreds of miles. From dark roads, heroes, to become a hero. Facing the League of Justice, his power was the people. Enemy is lethal, a king became regal. Saw the face of Jim Crow under a bald ego. No one can win a war individually. It take the wisdom of the elders and young people's energy. Welcome to the story we call victory, the coming of the Lord. My eyes have seen the glory. One day when the glory comes, it will be ours. It will be ours. Oh, glory. Oh,
thank you. Bye. Sublime, super fine. She was never lying, strutting in the heels or her slides. Was it heaven sent? Does it come within? Does it come run out? I don't know. She'll just have them running out and in. Man, they want to sin. Talking deadly sin with Mrs. Lady. I don't understand why she hit them like.
Thank you. as sinners. We listen to KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.